My theme for today is keep your light shining. Keep your light shining. So we're sort of departing from the 1 John series, and I was wondering what to preach about, and a Rihanna song kept on going round and round and round and round in my head, which was Shine Bright Like a Diamond. And so just for a bit of fun, actually, I think what we're going to do is we're going to have a bit of a pop trivia quiz. Does that sound like a... Mr. Morris has said, you don't have enough pop trivia quizzes in... he told me that just the other day, and I thought, you're right, Mr. Morris, I don't. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a bit of a pop trivia quiz all around lights. Okay, in fact, I'm going to divide you into three teams, just 10 minutes of fun, call it a bit of an advertisement break. Three teams, we're going to have this team, the left, then we're going to have the middle, and then we're going to have the right. Okay, I think I'll call you the Corbyn Easters over there, the Tim Farrons, and the Boris Johnsons. Because he'll probably be in power in the autumn. Okay, now if you want to quickly switch your team, because you're thoroughly unhappy with who you're allocated to, now is your chance to do so. Okay. So, Mike Gilson's gone and joined the Corbyn Easters. Okay, very interesting. Now, I'm aware that the middle team have a big advantage because there's a few more of you. So we'll see how this goes. Okay, these are all... What I'm going to do is I'm going to read the song title and then you have to tell me who sang it. Okay, are you ready? Do we need a team captain for each team or are we okay? I think we'll have a team captain, shall we? We'll have T as the team captain there. We'll have Adam as the team captain there. Well done, Adam. And Chris, you can be the Boris Johnson team captain. Okay, so if you'd like to coordinate your responses. Okay, are we all ready? Hands up, okay? Please don't shout out. You're not an unruly bunch of kids. You're adults. Okay, who sang A Million Lights? Hands up. A Million Lights. Yes. Yes. Yes.
You too?
No. Anybody else? A Million Lights was... No, I can't sing it. No one? No one? No one? You don't? Yes? No, good effort, but no. Okay. Who sang All the Little Lights? It was actually Cheryl Cole. Come on, you Cheryl Cole fans. Where are you? Where are the Cheryl fans when we need them? Okay. Who sang All the Little Lights? Hands up. You're not very good on your lights, are you? Anyone? Anyone? All the Little Lights. No, it's a great song, but I can't sing it. Anyone? These are too difficult, aren't they? Yes? No, Kanye West is a good guess. Yes? No, the answer's Passenger. Okay, let's go for something a bit easier. Who sang Christmas Lights? Yes? Yes! At long last, one point to the Corbyn Easters. Who sang Chasing Lights? Oh, Belinda. Do you know? Who? Okay, the answer's The Saturdays. Okay, obviously we're struggling a bit. We need to find out. Who sang You Shine a Little Light in My Life? You Shine a Little Light in My Life. Come on, you old rockers. Yes. ELO, well done. The Boris Johnsons get a point. Tremendous. We'll have a couple more. Who sang Lights Out, Words Gone? You shouted, Adam. You're supposed to put your hand up. Put your hand up. Now say the answer. Well done. It's one each. This is very exciting. Put your lights on. Yes. Sorry? Well done! The Boris Johnsons take the lead. Street lights. No. Someone has said this answer before. Yes. No. Hands up. Yes! The Corbyn Easters get a point. Right, we'll have a couple more and then we'll announce the winners. Who sang Vegas Lights? No. Hands up, Vegas Lights. No. Nope. Panic at the Disco. Under Neon Lights. I want a clear winner now, so the next winning on Under Neon Lights, yes? Good effort, but wrong. How about Turn Your Lights Down Low? Hands up. I heard someone. Nope. Nope. Hands up. Not the answer I've got here, but perhaps he was the original author. Is the right answer. How come you knew that? Is someone looking on the internet for you? Have you got a researcher? Okay, everyone's on two, so this is the deciding one. Okay, Leave Before the Lights Come On, anyone? Yes? No. Anyone? No? Answer the Arctic Monkeys. Okay, I've got four for just lights. If anyone can give me one of those four. I've got four people singing lights. So if anyone can give me a one. This is to win, by the way. So this is really important. And, sorry? Is the right answer. Okay, the Corbynistas have beaten the Johnsons and the Farrans. So let's give the Corbynistas a big round of applause. Okay. Well done. Okay, that was just a bit of fun. Now I'm going to talk about lights. Keep your light shining. Okay, if we could have the next slide up, that would be tremendous, Diana. Thank you. Okay, on a slightly sadder note, I was researching the whole subject of lights and shining lights and whatever, and apparently back in the war, there were a group of ladies who were known as the radium painters. Has anyone heard of them? Yeah, what they used to do is in the war effort, they used to paint radium onto fluorescent dials, yeah, of watches, war watches. And they used to the fine detail of painting this radium onto these dials, and they were trained. And apparently, part of their training was they had sable brushes, really fine pointed sable brushes, and they used to have to lick the sable brushes, and then paint the radium on. And at the end of the day, and this is actually true, at the end of the day, they used to leave work, and their faces were glowing. They were glowing in the dark, as well as the fluorescent dials. And what some of them used to do on Fridays, some of them used to dress up in their evening dress and go to work so that when they left work, they could go out on their day and literally glow as they were on their day on a Friday evening. In fact, radium became so popular that it was included in some beauty products in the war. Can you imagine plastering your face with radium glow stuff? Yeah, and sadly, many of them died. It's a really tragic tale. And Marie Curie, who invented radium, called the stuff "my beautiful radium," and because it was luminescent. But actually, it was luminescent and not life-giving. What I want to talk about this morning is to be luminescent and life-giving. Okay, I want to talk to us about how we shine brightly for Christ, it's a sad day in many ways because we have a parting of the ways. We have one family heading off west, and the rest of us staying. And what I want to talk about is the importance of all of us shining brightly, wherever God puts us, wherever God places us, wherever He sends us, wherever He locates us. Yeah, the key thing is that we shine brightly. I've got four shining brightlies, and I want to talk about those this morning. And the first is we radiate God by being in relationship with Him. We radiate God by being in relationship with Him.
Exodus 34, 28 and 29 says this: Moses was there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hands as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him. It's a lovely scripture, isn't it? It's just amazing. 40 days with the Lord leads to a shiny face. Yeah? 40 days with the Lord leads to a shiny face. And we could do well to think about that. Yeah, he had these 40 days and 40 nights of prolonged contact with his friend. And at the end of it, he quite literally radiated God. And that is a challenge, isn't it? If I'm really honest, I struggle to spend 15 minutes with God in a day. I might look at the word for today, or I might pray a few prayers or whatever. I struggle to spend even a small amount. We live in a generation where attention span is shot to pieces. Can I just say that? Where, do you mean everything is about sort of the media and the next quick hit on the iPhone or the next quick thing? And it's almost as if our attention spans are trained to be sure. And that is tragic, actually. That is tragic because God wants our attention span with him to be long and wants us to be able to have sustained contact with him. I'm just going to read a wonderful quote by C.H. Spurgeon, who says this, I hope you find it a challenge to yourselves as I find it a challenge to me. And it says this: "Oh, for the enjoyment of such heavenly communion. My brothers and sisters, have we not lost a great deal by so seldom dwelling apart, so little seeking continuous absorbing fellowship with the Most High? I'm sure we have. We snatch a hasty minute of prayer here. We afford a hurried quarter of an hour for Bible reading there, and we think we have done well." Very far am I from saying that this is not well. He's good, actually, Spurgeon. He compliments people who actually do spend time with God, and he says, you know, it's not a bad thing. But actually, if for the minutes we had hours, the gain might increase in proportion. Oh, for nights of prayer. Oh, for the close shutting of the closet door and a believing drawing near to God. There is no limit to the power we might obtain if such were the case. Though our faces may not be lit up with splendor, our lives would shine. That's really interesting, isn't it? We may not have glowy, radium faces, but actually, more contact with God leads to shiny lives. Our characters would become more pure and transparent, and our whole spirit would be so heavenly that men would regard with wonder the brightness of our being. Thus you see, the face of Moses shone because he had long looked upon the face of God. Lord, I pray for this, your people here, both going and leaving, both in Shepparton and in Barnstable, Lord, that our countenances would shine, that our characters would shine, that our whole beings would shine because we spend good time with you. Lord, for all of our devotional lives, for all of our times hidden away, for all of our secret prayer lives, for all of our reading of your word, for all of our contemplating you, for all of our meditating on scripture, Lord, I pray that you would bless that time and that you would multiply it. Lord, I pray that we would all serve you out of the radiance of our relationship with you. Lord, please, we long to be a people who are close to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Okay, my second point is this: we radiate God by reflecting his righteousness. Philippians 2, 14 to 18 says this: "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky." That's a beautiful scripture that Paul writes. "Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." Can you see that? Okay, there's a whole sort of linkage. It says do everything without grumbling or arguing is point number one. Point number two is that you are children of God. Point number three, that you're living in a warped and crooked generation. And therefore, point number four is we shine like stars. I hate to say this, but grumbling and complaining not only is a human trait, but it's a very British trait. Yeah? We spend a lot of our times grumbling and complaining as people of Great Britain. Yes? And actually, I think this is one of the biggest challenges for us as the people of God, is not to grumble and not to complain. As a flood of contaminant pours over us from the world, we are urged to resist it. Why? Because we are children of God. People who have no hope sort of have a right to complain, but we are a people who have a hope. We have a people who have an eternity. We are a people who have a Lord. We are a people who have a Savior. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We have new bodies that will be just like Christ's. We are inheritors to a new heaven and a new earth, where the dwelling place of God will be with man. Christ will reign as King for eternity, and we will be with him, and the whole of creation will be recreated. The world sort of is entitled to complain. We, as the children of God, are not. And I speak that just to myself as much as to everyone else. I've got a friend and we go walking together and we discuss everything. We discuss politics and we discuss the state of the world and we discuss all sorts of stuff. And invariably, it's just one long 2-hour walk of complain fest. Does that make sense? This is wrong. This is broken. This is thing. So-and-so needs to be hung out to dry. This is has happened and blah, 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 blah. And I sort of feel slightly sort of regretful at the end of it. And I think that wasn't very positive. That wasn't very good. And what I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to introduce the kingdom sneakily into the conversation. Yeah? Just trying to, and it gets just a fraction of the time at the moment. But my hope is it'll get a bit more time. Does that make sense? So please, I point the finger at me first and foremost. And say, let's speak faith into people's lives. Let's speak the kingdom into people's lives. Let's speak the eternal hope that we have as Christians into people's lives. And let's not spend our time engaging in a popular and enjoyable pursuit of the world. If these truths dominate our thinking rather than the nonsense of a fallen world, our attitude to everything would change. What I put. And so again, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to shine like diamonds in the sky. Lord, that people would see us, they would see our faith, they would see our hope, they would see our vision, they would see our love and being loved, they would see the grace and mercy that you bestowed on us. They would see these things and they would say to themselves, this person has something that I just do not have. For me, my life is just full of complaint, full of sadness, full of worry, full of anxiety. But we have an eternal hope. Lord, help us to radiate you in our righteousness. That's just one little area, but there's all sorts of other areas as well. Help us to radiate you. Thirdly, we radiate God by putting our good deeds on display. The other day, I went by Shepperton Sports Shop. I wasn't planning to go in, just in case you were wondering. And I looked in the shop window, and there was nothing on display. Very surprising. And there was a little sign up that said, this is a sweet little sign. It basically said, really sorry, we don't have anything on display because the bright sun is causing all our products to fade. So we've taken all our stuff out of the window. Yeah, and so it was an empty little shop display. This was during the couple of days last week where it was very bright and shut. That is not, by the way, Shepperton shop window. In case you're wondering. In case anyone's been by Shepperton High Street. The Shepperton Sports is slightly different to that. But we radiate God by putting our good deeds on display. Matthew 5:14 to 16 says this: "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Really important scripture, this. We need to really get hold of it. We are the light. We talked about being a light, remember, in the previous point. Yeah, we are a people, a town that cannot be hidden. And what we don't do is light a lamp and put it under a bowl. What we do is we get out there and we let our lights shine. There's an Old Testament scripture that says something along the lines of arise and let your light shine because of what God has done for you. Yeah? And the key point here is arise. Arise and let your light shine. And what Matthew talks about is good deeds. That actually, the good deeds themselves are the display. Yeah, not talk of the good deeds, but the good deeds themselves are the display of our lives. Does that make sense? A bit like we have little shop windows. And those good deeds are out there for people to see. And in a sense, they are our display. Just this importance of active righteousness that I think I referred to a few weeks ago. A church that is doing good will make many more advances than a church that is just being good. Yeah, a church that is doing good will make many more advances than a church that is just being good. And just a quote from someone on Job, says this: morality in Hebrew culture was far more about what you did than who you were. It was an active state of doing good rather than a passive state of being good. Lord, I just pray that you would multiply our good works. Lord, I pray for Jeff and Angela as they go out west, Lord, that they would have loads of opportunities of good deeds, of service, of loving people that would be presented to them. And Lord, in a sense that their good works would be on display. Lord, I pray for us who remain here in the Shepparton area, that similarly, Lord, we would be passionate. It says in your word, do not grow tired of doing good works. Do not grow tired, because in the right time, there will be a reward. There will be a harvest. And Lord, I pray that we will have this faith and that sense of as we follow you, as we imitate you in serving others, in doing good, Lord, that you would bless us. And we would see that harvest. Lord, help us to be proactive, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And my final point is this: we radiate Christ. We radiate God by pointing others to Christ. Let me read you a little section there. But part of me was inspired by the word for today, which was a couple of days ago, and it says this: Louis Pasteur, the pioneer of immunology, lived at a time when thousands of people died every year from rabies. He had worked for years on a vaccine, and just as he was about to experiment on himself, a 9-year-old boy named Joseph Meister was bitten by a rabid dog. The boy's mother begged him to try the vaccine on her son, so Louis Pasteur injected him for 10 days, and he lived. An amazing invention. Decades later, out of all the epitaphs that Pasteur could have chosen, can't pronounce his name very well, he asked for three words to be etched on his tombstone: Joseph Meister lived. Joseph Meister lived. Your greatest legacy can be those who live eternally because you shared Christ with them. Yeah, really important point. Your greatest legacy on earth can be those who live eternally because you shared Christ with them. Daniel 12:3 says this, and this is just a short verse, but a vital verse: those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. And it's interesting, I don't know whether Daniel knew that this was about the righteousness of Christ. You probably suspect it in the spirit he did. But as we read it, we think those who lead many to the righteousness of Christ and his salvation and the exchange of his righteousness for our sin and the fact that we can be covered by his blood and that we can be saved and that we can have an eternity open to us that was denied before, and quite the reverse, and that we can literally go from the depths to the heights, from orphan to son and daughter, from outer darkness to inner fellowship through the gospel. What an extraordinary message of Jesus Christ that is on offer. Literally from one side of the universe to the other, from the depths to the heights, available through Christ and his grace. And then we are the transmitters of that information. We are the heralds. Yeah? Blessed are those whose feet are shod with the gospel. Lord, I pray for, again, I pray for our evangelistic exploits. Again, I pray for the advancing of your kingdom in Barnstable. I pray for Biddeford. I pray for Alpha courses there in the future. I pray for opportunities to witness. I pray for contacts. Lord, I pray that we would see your gospel advance in both places. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Here's a lovely quote about a guy called George Muller, who lived in Bristol, found several orphanages. This is a comment about him. One day, George Muller began praying for five of his friends. After many months, one of them came to the Lord. 10 years later, two others were converted. It took 25 years before the fourth man was saved. Muller persevered in prayer until his death for this fifth friend. And throughout these 52 years, he never gave up hoping that this man would accept Christ. His faith was rewarded at Muller's funeral. Lovely. His faith was rewarded at Muller's funeral when this last friend came to Christ. Five friends prayed for over 52 years. Yeah, and the stats don't look great, do they? We get one after months. We get another couple after 10 years. We get 25 years to the fourth. And then finally, at his funeral, the fifth comes to Christ. That is perseverance. That is tremendous. I just want to pray. Open ourselves up and say, Lord, we just want to pray that we'd be like this man of God, George Muller, that we would have this commitment to pray for those friends of ours that are close to us. Lord, that we would seek your face for them, that we would be persistent in praying for them, that we would just constantly be at your door saying, Lord, please save, please rescue, please deliver. Lord, I've got six friends that Ruth and I know really well, and Lord, I long to see them come to know you as their Lord and Savior. I long to see them totally committed to you. Lord, I pray that you would move mightily by your Holy Spirit to bring salvation to them. Lord, I want to pray for everyone here that similarly has friends, that has relatives, that has loved ones. Lord, I pray that we would seek your face, that we would knock at your door, Lord, that we would come to you as children and boldly ask you for those whom we love. Lord, I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let me encourage you to do that. Let me encourage you to just have a small list, or just a list of people that you'd love to see come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm drawing to a conclusion, and I think Mike is going to nip into Radioactive to get them ready, because we've got a little presentation coming up. Just to finish off, here is a Festival of Lights that takes place in a little town called Hoi An in Vietnam on the Mekong River. It's a dodgy festival, so I'm not talking about it celebrates sort of ancestor worship and all that sort of stuff, so don't focus on that side of it. The side that I do want to focus on is just the whole idea of the lights. And do you see, what they do is they take these little lights and they put them in little boats and they sort of push them out on the river, and then the lights sort of spread out. And they go to all sorts of different places, And people look at those lights and they see them, and it's great to see. And so what I'm just wanting to say is, as we have a parting of the ways, as Jeff and Angela and Betty and Charlie go down out west, as Tom and Lindsay go into town, into Ealing, and set up with a church there, which sounds very exciting, as Digger remains and stays with us for a while. It's almost as if today is the launching of the lights day. Yeah, today is the day that the lights get pushed out on the river. Can I just say that the main thing is that we keep them burning. That we keep them burning in these key areas. That we keep them burning in our relationship with God. That we keep them burning in our righteousness and reflected righteousness. That we keep them burning in terms of our good deeds. And that we keep them burning in terms of trying to point others to Christ and the light of the world, who brings light to everyone. Lord, I pray, as the little lights go out onto the river, Lord, that they would burn brightly for you, and that they would just glow in the different places in this nation that you have placed them. Lord, I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.